right, John 15, and we're going to pick it up. Joe, I'm so glad you're here. But what we do on Wednesdays is we go verse by verse, but it's more reading, and occasionally I'll do a little commentary, like light commentary on it. But that verse, I think Paul says to Timothy, says, give attention to reading. And so that's what we're trying to do, is give attention to reading. And so we may cover a couple verses, we may cover two chapters. We'll see what we get through. And we'll go from there. One more time in the word. You good back there, Alicia? Okay. God, thank you so much for your word. We know that, God, you're the one who teaches us to your spirit that truly lightens your word. So fill us all, we pray. Speak to us, we pray, in your word. There's so many things each of us have in our hearts and minds that need to hear your word on, to give us a right answer, a right direction, a correction, whatever it is. Lord, we want to hear from you and you alone tonight. So bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is speaking and he says, John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You know, this idea that we're going to see it in a minute in verse 5, but that Jesus is where the life comes from. When it comes to God's life, the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, we have to be connected to him, that it all comes through him. We can't, in our own strength, conjure up the things of God. We can try and be nice. We can try and be good. We can try and be friendly, but we cannot imitate the flesh, the Spirit of God in our flesh, and it has to come through Jesus. And this is a tough verse. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And you know that if we're not bearing fruit, we're going to cut it off. You know, we had that tree in our front yard that I had to cut down. As much as I wanted it to be alive, I had to cut it down because it was going to fall over. We had those other couple, the tiny trees, kept pruning them back to try and get rid of extra growth that the healthy branches might grow, and that still died because of just not enough water. But God is going to cut things in your life sometimes, like we talked about last Sunday, right? That there's going to be a living sacrifice in us. And God's going to cut things away in your life, sometimes even good things, things that look like they could bear fruit one day or they're green, but he'll cut them away that you might bear more fruit. You might be healthier in other areas. And it's, you know, I think that's the real test of a Christian life. Or if we're spending time with Jesus, there's going to be fruit in our life. It doesn't mean you need to be successful in everything, but what it needs to be is there God's Spirit working in you to produce things in you that are not natural to you? Fruit, kindness, goodness, gentleness, peace, patience, loving kindness, right? Or are you leading people to the Lord? Are there things in your life that are different today than they were a couple weeks ago? You know, you have to be moving forward in your walk with the Lord. Is if you're not going forward, you're staying still. And really, if you're staying still, it's been said that you're probably going backwards, honestly. And we all have seasons of growth. We have spring, summer, winter, fall. There's different seasons when growth is apparent, different seasons when things seem like they're dormant. But God will work on those things in you. And we have to seek him and find that freshness in that time with him that we're not going to get from somewhere else, on our phone and watching a hockey game, hanging out with each other even, like Joe was praying before, right? That we have all these other good things that we do in the week, but what a wonderful thing it is that we can come and go to God's word and let him feed us, let him feed our spirit. And if he's feeding our spirit, eventually that miracle grow is going to work and fruit's going to come out, but we just need to let him work. Jesus says, no, you're good. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, that as believers, we're good to go. God has washed us. God has saved us. We're good to go. Now, we still need to wash ourselves from sin. 1 John 1:9, the Christian bar of soap. But we don't have to keep worrying about, are we saved? Am I not saved? Keep following Jesus, right? Like, granted, if you're not bearing fruit, if there's a sin issue or something, we need to take that seriously. But if you're seeking Jesus and you want him to bear fruit in your life and you're spending time with him, you don't have anything to worry about, right? God's cleaned you. God saved you. Let him keep washing you. He says, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. That we have to do that. We have to actively say, I want to stay with Jesus, and I want Jesus to stay with me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we wander, right? So Jesus is saying we need to stay with him and find our home in him, to abide in, not just be around him, but man, this is where I find my peace. This is where I find everything, is in that time with the Lord, in the morning, in the evening, at church. He says, you are the branches, right? He's the trunk. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's a relief. That can be a rebuke too. If we're trying to do things in our flesh, it's a rebuke. Look, you can't do it on your own. You need me. But it's also a relief because we go, is that a pun? Relief? Leaf? Bearing leaf? But it's a relief too because we go, I can do nothing without Jesus. So that means Jesus is going to do it all and I can just rest. And let him work, let him clean me up, let him convict me, let him bear fruit in me, let him lead me, let him guide me. Great Jesus, you do it all. I'll hang back. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Like we talked about Israel, right? Like they rejected Jesus and so they were cut off that the Gentiles might be grafted in. But Jesus wants to graft them back in, wants to bring new life in that branch. But that branch will not have life unless that water is flowing through it. And so he says, cast out as a branch is withered. Are you spiritually withered today? Are there things in your life that should be bearing fruit spiritually that maybe were years ago? Let God put his life back in them that they might bear fruit again. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. Again, a warning about judgment coming. That just because you claim the name of Jesus, just because you look like a branch or once part of the branch, once part of the tree, you got to make sure you're staying in the tree. That judgment is coming. That God warns us of those things. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Great Lord, a Ferrari. No, but sincerely, when your heart is right with God, you're going to ask for the things that God wants you to have and it's going to work out. It's going to be a blessing in your life. You're going to ask for the right things. And God, of course, God's not going to withhold the right things from you. And shall be done for you, right? But with fruit too. Are you asking for fruit? Ask God to bear that fruit in your life. God, use me. God, change me. I'm not patient enough. Change me. I'm not nice enough. Change me. I'm too afraid to share the gospel. And those are my prayers, right? Change us, right? You bear the fruit. You do the work in me. And God's going to go, no, don't want to. No, of course, those are the prayers God's always going to answer. He says, and by this, I love it, my Father is glorified. Don't you want God to be glorified in your life? Isn't that the cry of our hearts as believers? God, be glorified? That I want you to answer this prayer, not necessarily just because it's fun for me, but because it'll glorify you. I want to have peace with my brother because it'll glorify you ultimately, God. I want people to come to know you through my life because it's going to glorify you ultimately. It's a joy for me, but it glorifies you. And God is glorified when what? That you bear much fruit. And so you'll be my disciples. That you can't claim to be a disciple of God and not have fruit in your life. And again, it takes seasons. An apple tree takes several years before it bears fruit. There's seasons in our life when it seems like, man, what is the Lord doing? Sometimes only other people see it and you don't see it. But trust God and he'll bear it in time. Sometimes it takes time, like that song, Good Fruit Takes Time. Let's go on. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And how does that happen, love? Loving God. Loving others. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, like we looked at last time, if you obey me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. That loving God means doing what God wants you to do. It doesn't mean doing whatever you want to do. Sometimes they line up, but it means you're going to obey God. And that a quick thing to cut off fruit in your life is disobedience, right? Oh, man. It's so much harder to share that your faith when you know you've been sinning. You're not going to do it. You're not going to want to do it, right? It all comes back to love. And it's not about obedience per se. It's about that relationship with God, a loving relationship. But a loving relationship will produce obedience, will be submissive. Why? Not because God is cruel, but because God is God and we're man. And that's what the right thing to do is, for us to obey the creator of the universe. But guess what? As we do that, that connection is there. That vine, that branch, that sap of love is flowing. He says, these things I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may remain in you. Are you joyful today? If you're missing out on joy, go back and drink from the branch. Go have some of that maple syrup of God, so to speak, right? Go eat that sweetness of the Lord. Remember, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't have that joy, go back to that. Maybe question, am I not being obedient? My sister-in-law is going through a hard season. Her and her husband and their kids are going through a hard season with church and spiritual things. But she said that she has peace. And I guarantee you that there's joy in that. Even in doing the hard things and being obedient to Jesus, there's a joy there. And he says what? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The reason why God wants you to keep his commandments is so that you be, like Chuck Smith used to say, under the spout where his glory comes out. Where his love will be continually be on you. And as you obey him, as you do those hard things, as you spend time with him, as you're discipled by him, his love stays on you. And as his love stays on you, you have joy. It's not going the way I think it should go, Lord. Oh, but I've got you. I'm joyful. Oh, it's awful. But God, I've got you. Oh, obedience. I don't want to do it, but I know it's the right thing. Ah, there's a peace. There's a joy in that. So stay in there. And that's what God wants. That's where that fruit comes out. And the joy. He says, this is my commandment. What? What does God want us to do? That you love one another as I have loved you. That's ultimate the point of the commandment, is to love each other. That the commandment to not steal is because you love the person. You're not going to take what they have. And he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Didn't Jesus do that for us? He said, I no longer call you servant. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friend. He wants us to be his friends. That this relationship of obedience is not just as one to a boss. It's as one to a friend, you know. Let's go. Shut the door behind you. You know, let's go. You know, help me pick this up. Let's go. Let's go do these things together as friends. Obey me. And that's the thing. When we're friends with Jesus, the obedience stops being this task. It stops being a burden. It's like, oh, you're my friend. You don't even have to ask me. Of course I'm going to do that for you. You know, Joe didn't have to beg me to pick him up from the airport, right? Like, of course, you're flying all the way here to see me. Of course. When do I need to be there? How can I? Oh, man, I thought we were running late. It said his flight landed. It hadn't landed. I was worried. I was leaving my friend hanging. Why? Because we're friends. I love him. So he says, love others as if I have loved you, right? And that's the thing. When others aren't lovable, we have to remember, like we're going to look at it on Sunday, right? We're going to see this coming Sunday about some motives for things, about mercy and loving others. We have to remember that we're not lovable either. I have to love you because that should be easy compared to God loving me, right? And he says, greater love than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. I love this verse. I struggle with this verse. It means like, what else do I need to do? I've got some good friends in life that I love and I care about. I'm like, what else do I need to do? Do I need to do something absolutely crazy to go to love on them? It's hard to get around verses like that. Because a friend loves at all times, right? And what's the ultimate show of love? Soldiers love this verse. This is on a lot of military things. To die for your friends. We saw it at the prison today. They had it for the prison guards, right? You love your friend, you're going to die for him. Oh yeah, whatever it needs. I would rather die that you could live. And Joe, I don't know. Nice. No, but sincerely, if someone broke in here, I would stand in front of them with my gun to protect you guys, right? I think we all would because we love each other. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 14. You are my friends, what? If you do whatever I command you. That's a way to show Jesus that we're his friends, is by just simply obeying him. And what does he say? I said it before, I think his commands are not burdensome. And his command is what? To love. As we're loved. No longer do I've said it before, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. You know, in life sometimes I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And I think he has to remind me, we're friends. Think about it for a little while. Spend a little time with me. Hang out. I'll gladly tell you. I'm not keeping secrets from you. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. That's wild. Everything that God tells Jesus, so to speak, he wants to talk to you about. The mysteries of the gospel. You did not choose me. Thanks, Calvin. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's why God chooses us. Why? To be fruitful in our lives. Not be fruity, but be fruitful. To be loving. To be examples of God. To offer out to the world, to God and to the world, things that they try and conjure up. Joy, peace, patience, kindness. They can't get those things. They try. They have a natural version, but we have a supernatural version that tastes far sweeter and has no It has no ask for a return. Sometimes when we're kind to what? To people who are kind to us. We're kind that we might get the job. We're kind that they might like us. Not the gospel. We're kind that they might know Jesus. And we're kind, not in our own strength, but because Jesus is kind through us, so to speak. He's appointed you. Do you know that God has appointed each of us to go and bear fruit? That's part of being a disciple, is that we obey God, that God wants us to go out into the world, and the purpose of our lives is to know Him, be friends with Him, to know God's love, to love Him back, but to love others and be that vessel, that ambassador of Jesus, wherever He takes you in life, in school, in work, the supermarket, on the mission field. God's got a plan for your life, a calling. He says it. He appointed you. Like the president, you know, here's the thing. Do we show up when God appoints us, or do we say, no, I'd rather not today, Lord?
Are we Jonah?
Yeah, 100%. Are we Jonah? And what does He appoint us to do? Go and bear fruit, and what? That your fruit should remain. Why, again, it remains? Because we're connected to Jesus. It has nothing to do with us, because I know when as soon as I get disconnected from Jesus, it's like, it falls off, and it's rotten on the floor. That whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. That God wants to answer your prayer. God wants you to be in a place where He can constantly bless you with answers from who? The Father. The Father's not some absentee, distant person. The Father's like, yeah, I want to answer your prayer through Jesus. Come here. Get closer. Come here. And He says, these things I command you, what? That you love one another. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. That's good comfort. When the world hates you for being Christian, okay, great. They hate Jesus, what do I expect? If you are of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't go back to the world. Stop choosing the world. Stop trying to make the world happy. God chose you out of the world. What a relief. Don't we all want to be picked? I remember getting picked last in some sports as a kid. It's like, you want to be, I'm like, trust me, I can throw. Just let me try. I'll show you. The world hates you. Why? The world's going to hate us. He says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. That's great. We don't have to be greater than Jesus. Jesus can have all the greatness. We just get to go along for the ride. He said, if they persecuted Me, did they persecute Jesus? Yeah. They put Him on a cross. Here's a great verse for us. They will also persecute you. You're going to be persecuted, Christian. People are going to hate you. People are going to, like when Mia and I went out to the March for Holding the Signs last year. I know it wasn't March for Life, it was another day. And they were yelling at her, cursing at her, putting fingers up at her. Because they hate Jesus. They hated her. And if they kept My word, they will keep yours also. Isn't it frustrating when it's like you love someone and share the word with them? And they don't keep it? Well, it's not necessarily your fault. You want to help them understand it. You want to love them and give them opportunity to obey. But if they don't obey it, ultimately, it's because they're disobeying God. And isn't it a joy when you share a verse or you love on someone, you pray for someone, and they begin to obey that word that you shared with them, not because they're obeying you, but because they've begun to obey God? You're like, yes, they love God. Like my sister-in-law and her husband and her kids, as they've come to the Lord. I knew my wife was praying for them for all those years. But it's a joy to see. Yes, not because they're doing the same thing we're doing. Yes, they obey. They're like us, self-right. No, they are obeying Jesus now. They have a relationship with Jesus. And it's like, yeah, what a relief that is. They keep the word. And again, this idea of obedience, keeping the word of each other. If we love each other, we're going to obey. We're going to listen to the word. Brother, I love you. I think you need to cut that out. I think we should consider when someone says that something like that to us. They may not always be right. They may come from a wrong place. But when a close friend, like Paul says to the Romans, he says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present yourself a living sacrifice. That when someone close to us comes to us and says something hard to us, we should consider it. I think if we don't consider it, maybe we're not as good a friend to them as they are to us. I think you also, I think it's been said, consider the source, who's saying it, right? Sometimes a stranger says something. I'll consider it still, but it doesn't mean the same as when a close friend comes and says something. Why? Because we love each other. We want to lay our lives down. We'd rather risk the friendship and say the honest thing than not. Why? That they might, our friend might be closer to Jesus, might have more reward from Jesus, might have their prayers answered by the Father. By all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. They hate Jesus, so they do it to you, but you get the reward. Because they do not know him who sent me. Why? They don't know Jesus. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. That's a big verse that I'm not going to get into tonight. But just, Jesus still came. He came directly to them. And he's come to every person in the world. Sometimes he uses you. But remember, we're just following the Holy Spirit's lead. The Holy Spirit's already out there convicting of sin and of judgment and righteousness. We're just following up what the Holy Spirit's doing. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Remember, when they hate God, it's because when they don't want to believe, it's not because it's not true. It's not because you necessarily did a bad job. It's because they hate God. Now, do a good job. Love on them. Share accurately. Share lovingly. But if they don't choose, if they don't believe, it's because they would rather hate God. They're mad at God for some reason. And usually it's not a valid reason. He says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did. Remember, he said that if I did the works in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. That's a wild one too. But he says they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They still hated God even when he showed up on their doorstep. People say, oh, if God shows up in my life, I'll believe. No, you'll still hate him. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me, what? Without a cause. Let me tell you, no matter what someone hates God for, it's without a cause. It's incorrect. There is zero reason to hate God. And yet there's 100% reason for him to hate us. Oh, God took my dad from me when I was young. Was it God? Was it sin? Didn't God try and be there for you? I remember when my dad left as a kid and how sad I was and me crying to my mom. And this is not like death, right? My dad's still alive. I've got a relationship that's awesome. But the point I'm trying to make is this. My world was over. I remember crying out, when's dad coming back? It wasn't God's fault. I ran from God after that. I rebelled against God. I still said I believed in him as a childlike way, but I didn't have that relationship with him. But I look back and I see Jesus behind my mom as I'm hugging her in the bathroom and crying my eyes out. God never left me. God didn't cause my dad to go away. God wasn't like, yep, you know what, Tim, I want your dad to go away. And you know what, Tom, I want, you know, it was not, and my dad has repented. My dad has been said sorry a million times over, right? Like, I don't say this to put any shame on my dad. My dad, everything's okay there. I say this to say that Jesus was there in that moment. And I guarantee that Jesus is in whatever moment that person hates God. That awful thing that's happened because of sin, someone else's sin, just through the sin universe. God wants to use that as an opportunity to draw that person close. And that person has chosen to hate God instead because they listen to the lie of the enemy. They've loved sin rather than righteousness. Whatever it is not God's fault that thing happened or that person hates God. So what do? We love them. We bless those who curse us. Why? Because God loves them too. He says what? They hate me without a cause. But as we get close to a close, no, we'll go a little bit longer. But when the helper comes, who's the helper? Not hamburger. I had hamburger. Yeah, it's not that good. It's really not that good. But when the Holy Spirit comes, I love that. That's his name, Helper. Comforter, right? Is that what your translation says, Joe? Comforter?
Mine's got a
footnote. It says Comforter, Parakletos. The word Parakletos means one who comes alongside, right? And into those, when do we need someone to come alongside us most? In those hard times, in those awful times when we want to turn and blame God. God's going, no, I'm here. I'm ready to help. Please cling to me in this. And he says, who sent the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Where does the Spirit come from? From the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify to me. That's it, guys. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, who does he tell you about? Jesus. He doesn't say, oh, look at me, Holy Spirit. I'm wonderful. No, he goes, Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the one who died on the cross for you, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. He sent me that you might feel his love and know his love and not be alone, that I may dwell inside you, right? Remember Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. How does he do that? By the Holy Spirit, the helper, the paraclete. And he says, what from there? He will testify of me. And when the Holy Spirit testifies the us of Jesus, what's our natural response? You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. That when the Holy Spirit is with us, we know what Jesus is. We go, we've seen Jesus, and we testify to what we've seen. I was down and out, but Jesus. I was broken and sinful, but Jesus. I needed help, Jesus. I was not like this, but Jesus. I would be mean and hateful, but Jesus. Right? We begin to testify of Jesus and all those things. Let's go on a little bit longer into chapter 16. He says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble, right? If we forget that God's with us, if we go through a hard season and we're not bearing fruit, he says all these things that we might remember. When we're persecuted, when people come against us, we might want to stumble. We might want to turn back. But Jesus goes, I told you, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Don't be surprised. Don't stumble when that happens. Even when they claim to be Christian, even when they claim to be your friends, they will put you out of the synagogues. That was a big deal for a Jew. All of life happened in the synagogue. They'll be like me getting kicked out of Costco. Worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the time is coming. I hope I'm not prophesying now for America, but that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. No joke about the Muslim world and Europe. And these things they will do to you. Why? Because they have not known the Father nor me. Even if they say they know God, they do not know God if they're killing you. He's talking about Paul too, right? Paul said, I was a murderer, a blasphemer. He says, but these things, what? I have told you that when the time comes, he doesn't say if, he says when the time comes, you may remember that I told you them. Who's going to remind you of those words? The Holy Spirit, who's with you, who's in you, that you're abiding in, that you're praying to the Father through, that he's praying to you, giving you groanings and utterances. And he says, these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He's like, guys, I'm going away. You're not going to be able to look to me for every answer anymore. You're not going to be able to say, hey, Jesus, what do we do? You're going to have to listen now. I'm leaving now, but I'm giving you one greater, in a sense, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will be with you all the time and each one of you all the time. I'm only with couple of you at a time, but the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And don't worry, even though I'm going away, I'm going to be with you. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me. Who's that? The Father. And he says, none of you ask me where you're going. Like when I leave the house, my kids go, Daddy, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? You know, and I'll say the dump. Mia will be like, I'm going. Jacob will be like, I'll help. I'm going to Costco. And Jake goes, I don't know about that one. Cece's like, I'll go to Costco. But Jesus, I mean, if Jesus was here physically, I mean, he is in you, right? We're not going to get into that idea of the church, or the body, but that's 2 weeks. But if he was here in the room and he got up and went out, or he said, hey, I'm going somewhere, wouldn't we, we're his friends, we love him. Wouldn't we say, Jesus, where are you going? What are you doing? And he says, I'm going away. And none of you says, where are you going? Are we afraid to ask God what he's doing? Do we not know what he's doing because we're not asking? Do we feel like we're disconnected because we haven't asked him? He's gone off to do something else. He's going away to do someone else. And do we care? But he says, because I've said these things, you sorrow has filled your heart. Are we so focused on the wrong things? He's saying, I'm giving you the helper. I'm telling you things. Hang on. You're going to bear a lot of fruit in me. But all you're focused on is right here, right now. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Remember, whenever God does something in us, whenever God speaks something to us, it's to our advantage. You know, in the military, they say they want an unfair advantage. They want night vision. They want suppressors. They want more, better guns, better weapons, better armor. They don't want it to be a fair fight. And God doesn't want it to be a fair fight for you. He wants you prepared. He wants you sent out. He wants you connected to him. He wants you full of his Holy Spirit, a helper, So he's giving you advantage. He says, if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus never goes anywhere without blessing you, right? He's never going to leave you without everything you need. But are we going to him? If we feel like we don't have what we need, go back and spend that time with him. Go ask him. He says, when the helper has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, why? Because they do not believe in me. That's the ultimate sin, right? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, not believing in Jesus. Of righteousness, why? Because Jesus left. He did his work. He died. He rose again. He's gone to heaven. He's preparing a place for those who would obey him, those who would follow him, those who would ultimately believe in him. It's not our works. It's faith that gets us there. But that's where righteousness comes. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, why? Because Satan is judged. The ruler of this world is judged. The world rejects that message. And that's the message of the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit is message. Here's the deal. Like Ray Comfort, right? This is what the Holy Spirit is ministering to people right now who are not saved. That they are in sin. They need God's righteousness. And God's righteousness has happened at the cross, but Jesus isn't here. And time is coming when he's coming back and their judgment is coming. They better turn now before it's too late. That's the message we need to give to the unbelieving world of sin, of judgment, and righteousness. Not condemnation, but that judgment will bring that condemnation. That's what we need to give them, guys. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, right? We need to mature. We need to be able to handle it. And they're upset. Sometimes we need to go, maybe God's not telling me what he's doing because I can't bear it. And maybe I need to figure something out in my life first. God, what am I doing? I need to hear from you. A couple more verses will be done. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Bible says he's not the author of confusion in the New Living Translation. In another verse, he says, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. I love that. God tells you what's coming down the pike. Be prepared. There's times in my life when I felt like, oh, I feel like that's going to happen. I think the Lord might be leading me. But I try not to put too much stake in it because I don't want to be weird. And then the thing happens and it's shocking and it's awful. But I'm like, yeah, I think God was preparing for me for this the whole time. And he will declare it to you. And he says, all the things of the Father. Oh, here you go. He will glorify me and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Right? That the Holy Spirit, Jesus says things. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, allows us to abide in him, reminds us of what Jesus says. Anything that we need to know from God, the Holy Spirit will teach us, will feed us, will remind us. And anything that he does is a good litmus test. Is the Holy Spirit or not? Does it point us to Jesus? Does it get us to go to the Father? Does it get us to trust in his word? Does it get us to cling to him more? Does it get us to bear fruit? Does it get us to have joy? That's only by his Spirit. It doesn't come any other way. A lot of people say, oh, the Holy Spirit told me, but Scripture says totally different, right? The Father wouldn't want that in your life. But we have the Father. He's going to tell us things to come. And what's the ultimate thing to come? Jesus' return. So be hopeful. Be joyful. Know that persecution will get worse before he comes to get you. Even if that means he comes to get you while you're burning at the stake. He's going to get you. I heard that the other night about some folks who was like, the pastor went first. And he was like, if I keep singing, I'm not feeling any pain. And it says that he kept singing as they burned him at the stake. And other people lined up to go with him. What a wild thing. I think I would reach for my gun at that. They want to come burn me at the stake. This is different. So with that, let's pray and go on our way. God, thank you for your grace and mercy and truth that we can study your word. Thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your Holy Spirit to us. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for always reminding us of Jesus. And Father, for giving us all things that to Jesus to give to us through the Spirit and remind us that he's coming. Give us strength. Let us abide in you. Where we're weak, let us cling to you more. And we're weak. Where we're joyless, God, let us trust in you more and taste from you more. God, bear much fruit in us that you would receive the glory. Not that people would pat us on the back and say, good job, you're so swell. But God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would be glorified. That's what we want to see in our lives, God. Even tonight, you glorified. So be lifted up, God. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Come soon. Amen.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind the door, we drink first light.